As we get underway this evening, let me invite you to take your Bible, please, and open with me to the Gospel of Matthew and the 20th chapter, Matthew chapter 20 tonight. Tonight I want to consider the theme, a servant's heart. No one epitomized the heart of a servant more than Jesus Christ himself. And I want to, through his example, understand what it means for you and I to have the heart of a servant. In Matthew chapter 20, I want you to look with me, if you would, beginning in verse 25, and then we'll read down through verse 28. After that, we'll bow together for a word of prayer before we consider the theme together tonight. Matthew 20, verse 25 says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Let's bow together, please, and pray before we consider the theme together tonight. Father, we thank you tonight that we can come and we can study together the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for truth that is revealed to us, truth that is desired to be applied to our hearts by the Spirit of God if we but allow it to be applied. And Lord, that which we hear tonight, we now become responsible for. And we are responsible to act upon that which we hear. Father, tonight we will either accept this truth and apply it to our lives, or we'll reject it and set it aside. Now, Lord, I pray tonight that you would create within us a heart of a servant, that we would be more like our Savior, Jesus Christ, who was the servant of all. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in everything tonight. So, Father, we pray that you'd teach us from thy word, in Jesus' name. Amen. A.T. Pearson once wrote the following: "Whatever is done for God, without respect of its comparative character as related to other acts, is service. And only that is service. Service is, comprehensively speaking, doing the will of God. He is the object. All is for him, for his sake, as unto the Lord, not as unto men. Hence, even the humblest act of the humblest disciple acquires a certain divine quality by its being done with reference to him. The supreme test of service is this: for whom am I doing this? Much that we call service to Christ is not such at all. If we are doing this for Christ, we shall not care for human reward or even recognition. Our work must again be tested by three propositions. Is it work from God, as given us to do from him? Is it work for God, as finding in him its secret of power? And is it work with God, as only a part of his work in which we engage as co-workers with him?" I think he's given a good, fair observation on the topic of service. All of us who have been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ have been called into his service. We have been given the greatest of opportunities to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yet too much of what is done in the name of service is really nothing more than our meager attempts to have the approval of men. And I believe that there's a great need today for Christians to acquire a true servant's heart, that we would truly live as Christ did, not coming to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give our life for others. I want you to listen as I read another short description that was given by Richard Foster as he delineates the difference between service and seeking of men's approval. He makes several statements. Listen to what he says. He says self-righteous service comes through human effort. True service comes from a relationship with the divine other deep inside. Self-righteous service is impressed with the big deal. True service finds it's almost impossible to distinguish the small from the large service. Self-righteous service requires external rewards. True service rests content in hiddenness. Self-righteous service is highly concerned about results. True service is free from the need to calculate results. Self-righteous service picks and chooses whom to serve. True service is indiscriminate in its ministry. Self-righteous service is affected by moods and whims. True service ministers simply and faithfully because there is a need. Self-righteous service is temporary. True service is a lifestyle. Self-righteous service is without sensitivity. It insists on meeting the need even when to do so would be destructive. True service can withhold the service as freely as it performs it. Self-righteous service fractures community. True service, on the other hand, builds community. As you hear those statements tonight, I ask you this evening to consider, what type of service are you performing? Are we serving God out of a desire to exalt self, to have the approval of men and the praise of men? Or are we serving God because we love Him, and with a true heart of service, we give our heart fully to Him? We are to seek to serve the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our minds, not simply seeking to serve our own selfish needs. The Lord Jesus, as we read earlier, came that He might minister to others, not that He Himself would be ministered unto. I want you to take your Bible now and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 tonight. And this evening, in the time that we have remaining, I want to look at a passage familiar to us, but I want to consider it slightly differently tonight. I want to look at verses 5 down through verse 8 of Philippians chapter 2, and I want to see what a true heart of a servant is all about. We know from this passage that Paul is seeking to encourage his beloved friends in Philippi. He is desiring that they would have the heart of God in ministry. And he wants to encourage them and help them in the joy of serving the Lord. Before we get to chapter 2, I want you to look at chapter 1, verse 27. Paul writes and says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Paul's desire was that the people of God there in Philippi would strive together in one common bond as they would serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we come down to chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, we are told to have the very mind of Christ in ministry. Look at what he says. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Tonight I want you to see quickly with me four things about a servant's heart, about a true servant of the Lord. We are called to have the mind of Christ and to be servants as He was a servant, to have His mind within us. What are those things that Paul points out in this passage that would help us to see what it means to have a servant's heart? Well, I want you to look again with me, first of all, and understand that a true servant of God, a servant's heart, is first of all voluntary. It is voluntary. Look again at what it says, beginning, if you would, verse 5 down through verse 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. A true servant's heart is first of all voluntary. He took upon him the form of a servant. I want you to think about how remarkable a statement that is. Because, folks, who is that speaking of? It is speaking of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, God Himself, the Creator of heaven and earth. There is none like unto our God. There is none greater than He. And He took upon Himself the form of a servant. Folks, He was deserving and is deserving of your service and mine. Is He not? He who is the very sovereign God of heaven and earth, He who is the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, the holy one, the just one, the gracious one, the merciful one, the Savior, is He not deserving of your service? Absolutely. Yet He came and voluntarily became your servant and mine. Again, it says in verse 5 and 6 that He who was in the form of God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, He was God, He was equal to God. There is no other way but to understand that Jesus Christ was divine.
Amen.
And yet He took upon Himself the form of a servant. Turn over just a page or two to Colossians chapter 1. I want to remind you again of this one to whom we speak. Jesus Christ. I want you to understand how remarkable the statement is. Verse 15 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. This is He who took upon Himself the form of a servant." That was voluntary, folks. And the heart of a true servant is one who will voluntarily become a servant of others. Let's face it, there are not many today who are willing to sign up to be servants. Matter of fact, there are very few today who want to sign up to be a servant. Many today are looking for prominence. They are happy to rule, but very few are willing to serve. I'm going to ask you a question this evening. What is your attitude towards service? How do you respond when you are treated like a servant? Just think about that for a moment. What's your attitude about serving others? Part of that will be seen in how you respond when you're treated like a servant. We have a statement in our employee personnel handbook that all of our staff receive annually, and they sign that they are in agreement with it every year. The statement reads this way: "Be a servant and expect to be treated like one." Now, we have been given one of the greatest callings that man can give, to be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful privilege to be at His beck and call to do according to His will. Where He leads, we get to follow. What He bids us to do, we obey, and we know the joy and blessing of serving Him. There's nothing wrong with being a servant, and we ought to expect to be treated like one. He was. He set for us the example.
He set aside his robe and he took upon himself the apron of a servant that he might wash his disciples' feet. But there are not many today who are willing to volunteer to be a servant even of Jesus Christ. But folks, there's no shame in service when our service is for Him. Are you willing to sign up for the position, or are you going to wait for a better offer to come along? Are you willing to serve Him in any capacity that He asked you to serve? A true servant, a person with a true servant's heart, will volunteer to serve. They're willing to take up the form of a servant. How about you? Are you willing to volunteer to serve the Lord? I want you to see a second thing with me. If you go back to Philippians chapter 2, we continue on. It says that he took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. A true servant's heart not only is voluntary, but it requires humility. And that truth has to be closely linked to the first. No one will volunteer to be a servant until first they humble themselves. Remember the words of Romans chapter 12, verse 3? For I say, through the grace of God given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, you and I need to learn to not think so highly of ourselves. Well, it's not really for me to do. That's a little bit beneath me. Is there anything beneath you? Be honest as you answer that question. Because the reality is, there's probably something that you would consider beneath you. There's probably something that you would say, I would never do that. That is just too low a form of service for me. But if we're going to have a true servant's heart, it's going to require humility. The reason we're not willing to volunteer and to be treated like service is we think too much of ourselves. Let me ask you a couple more questions tonight. I want you to think about honestly. What is the lowest task that you will do for another person? What is the lowest task that you will do for another person? What is the lowest task that you would do for free? What is the lowest task that you would do for the church? Are you willing to go unrecognized? Are you willing to serve and not be appreciated as you think you should? Can I ask you, what's beneath you? What's too low a task for you to do for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Folks, when you find that, we need to come and humble ourselves before Almighty God, because, folks, there should be nothing beneath our service for the Lord. He gave everything for you and me. He went to the cross and died a shameful death. His life was completely humiliated before all mankind. What's beneath you and me that we would say, I'm not doing that in service? Oh, I'll be happy to be seen and I'll be happy to be recognized. I'll be happy to do that which pats me on the back. But behind the scenes, there are some things I would never do. Folks, a true servant's heart requires humility. Third, I want you to see this with me tonight. A true servant's heart is centered in God's will. It is centered in God's will. Again, it says, verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, notice the next phrase, and became obedient unto death. A true servant's heart is a person that will live their life centered in God's will. He is willing not only to take upon himself servanthood, he is not only willing to humble himself, but he is willing to obey all that the Father says. What God asks of him, he will do. Jesus Christ came to do the will of the Father who sent him. He was obedient in all things, even unto death.
Being a little inquisitive tonight, but I want you to think. Are you willing to obey the Lord in all things? Careful with your answer. Because, folks, all, those three little words, have a huge meaning. All is a very small word that it encompasses everything.
When I say I am willing to obey God in all things, that means whatever He would ask, I would be willing to do.
If you're not willing to obey the Lord in all things, then folks, you need an adjustment of heart. Because you don't have the heart of a servant. A servant becomes obedient. He chooses to be obedient in all things. I want you to think about this for a moment. We understand that we're to obey God in all things. Most of you would agree with that tonight, right? We are to obey God in all things. If you agree with that statement, just nod with me. Okay? Or you can say amen, either one. Does that include obeying then all authorities that He appoints over you? Oh, wait a minute. I don't think I like that one. He became obedient unto death. Did you know that God places people over your life in places of authority and He expects your obedience to them? Are you willing to obey in all things there? What that's going to require? Submission and a willingness to surrender your will to another. Are we willing to obey in all things? Are we willing to submit to do His will? Or do we always have to have it our way? If the boss comes to you and says, I need you to do the following, and you always have a suggestion for him for the work that you're doing, you do not have a servant's heart. Well, I understand what you want me to do, but can I offer you a suggestion as to how I really think I should do it? You have a problem with the servant's heart. But I know it's just, is there any way you could compromise just a little bit on this one? You have a problem with a servant's heart. Because a servant's heart is obedient in all things. And by the way, it obeys immediately. And maybe this was just my problem, I don't know. But I remember all the years growing up in Christian school, this statement was made. The time I was in kindergarten all the way through, it was on the walls, the teacher said it in every classroom that I was ever in. This was the statement. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Did you know that? Some of you go, wow, that's a revelation to me. I never knew that. It is. But I obeyed. But not in the right time frame. Delayed obedience is disobedience. When God speaks to us and God directs us, when does He want us to obey? Right away. Not when we feel like getting around to it. Not when we've taken the time to consider all the options and find out, well, that's probably the best option overall, so now I'll obey. God wants your immediate obedience. And I'll be honest, I don't think anyone in Scripture shows that to me more than Abraham.
You read through Abraham's life, and every time God said, do something, he did it without thought, without hesitation. Even the hardest decision of his life, to take his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loved, and offer him as a sacrifice, he rose up early in the morning, he prepared to leave, and he left. No hesitation. He had a servant's heart willing to obey without delay. Can I add this? Without complaint. We obey without delay and we obey without complaint. I can't believe they're asking me to do that. Fine. Fine. We huff and we puff and we walk out. As soon as we find the next person at work, we say, can you believe? I don't know why we have this boss. He's crazy. He's absolutely insane. He doesn't take our feelings into consideration at all. All we do is complain. You have a problem with the servant's heart. Because, folks, the true servant, as Jesus Christ demonstrated it to us, volunteered to become a servant. Not only did he volunteer, but he humbled himself and he obeyed God in all things. By the way, that means we obey when we don't understand and when it seems too hard. We put our life in the hands of Almighty God and we trust in Him with all of our heart. We no longer lean to our own understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge Him, knowing He will direct our paths. We obey right away, without delay, without complaint. There's one final thought here tonight I want you to see, and that is this: a true servant's heart is focused on others. It is focused on others. Look again to verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Notice the final phrase, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross. You know, as I read that statement, I'm reminded that Jesus Christ came knowing full well that his life on this earth ended at Calvary for you and me. He came that he might die. One of my favorite cantatas at Christmas time is the one that is simply written by Ron Hamilton entitled Born to Die on Calvary. He came that he might die. Before the foundations of the world, it had been determined that Jesus Christ would come and offer his life for others. He came with a cross in mind. He came to seek and save those who were lost. He came to seek you and I who, like sheep, went astray, turning to our own way. He came for Calvary. His life has been and always will be focused on the needs of others. What is he doing today? He is there at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. A servant's heart is always focused on the needs of others. Maybe tonight you're wondering, do I have a servant's heart? Ask yourself this question: where do others rank in comparison to me? Where does everyone else rank in comparison to me? Because, folks, let's face it, we all have our list of priorities and we all have our list where we belong. You have one tonight. You may not want to admit it, but you have one. And if you're really honest with yourself, you're going to find out where you sit on that list compared to everybody else. Some people believe that they are royalty and that all ought to sit and bow before them. Some will put themselves, well, there's certain people that they'd be happy to, but there's a lot of other people who are way beneath me. Where do you put yourself on the list compared to others? Where do you put yourself on the list compared to your family, your spouse, your children? Where do you put yourself in relation to other people within the church? A true servant's heart always focuses on the needs of others. Where do we rate ourselves? Folks, Jesus Christ came with others in mind. God is looking for true servants to arise. Folks, the work before us is great and the hour is late. Jesus Christ is coming again. There is not time for you and I to live for self. There is not time for us to waste. The needs are great all around us. And God is looking for a people with a true servant's heart. Willing to volunteer. Able to humble ourselves to the very position of the servant. Capable to obey God whatever He would ask. Not seeking our own way. Willing to put others before self that their needs might be met. A true servant's heart. No one epitomized that more than our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the very King of kings and Lord of lords, the one before all will bow one day, and every tongue is going to confess Him as Lord. He is worthy of preeminence. He is worthy of our honor. But He took upon Himself the form of a servant. He humbled Himself. He became obedient unto death. He came for the cross. Let that mind be in you, which was also in our Lord. A true servant's heart. I pray that God would help us each and every one to desire and to acquire the heart of a servant. Let's pray together tonight.